The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
God, have mercy on your soul.
Earthlings, we come in peace. Greetings, Earthlings, people of planet Earth. Any portion of this program may be duplicated and freely distributed throughout the world and the universe. Permission is granted to share all data electronically over the internet or by mechanical means. Yeah. Any alien transcriptions are allowed. So all of you up there in UFOs... flying around, looking down here at Earth. Welcome, Earthlings! Feel free to enjoy and think freely as you do throughout the course of this program. Although this program will have no tangible effect on everyday life on Earth or anywhere else, I think maybe somewhere in the galaxies of galaxies it will be. The implications for science, philosophy, and even religion are profound, although they are limited to humans. And humans at SRN, the spirit of South York, filled with humans everywhere, is proud to bring you the following program.
This show comes to you.
In its entirety, in fact.
Through the years.
What's going to happen.
Through the years. Through the
years. It comes to you through the courtesy of one of the greatest nations on this earth, Canada.
Okay.
It's one of the only countries with three A's in its title.
Hey.
There are more neo-postmodernists per capita than any other country in the world in Canada.
Hey? What?
It's our home and our native land, a true patriot love in all thy sons' command. So everyone stands!
Oh, Canada!
So the spirit of South York, S.R. Raymond. Wherever you are on the face of God's green earth, I'm here with you. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. That's for damn sure. Gosh darn it. What am I talking about? You know. Pow, pow, pow. Ooh. Wake up, it's night! Neo-postmodernists, you sunburned sicklemen, make holiday, put on your high heel sneakers. It is time! Another monkey piloted trip to the moon, no seatbelts required. Cthulhu Chronicles, right between your eyes. Y2K plus 7, April 5th.
What?
Wake up!
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Y2K.
In your face and on the air. And that's just the way it should be.
Yes, it is that way. Count it off.
1, 2, 3, hit it.
Pop rock the show. Time to lay down some serious sound.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Cthulhu, Cthulhu.
Shake that thing.
Good God!
Work it. Work it. Shake that thing.
Greetings, Earthlings! Internet radio, alternative broadcasting here. I'm transcending the very time itself. Bard of Broadcasting, I am the third man, and this is Cthulhu Chronicles Y2K Plus 18. I play with myself. That's what that's all about. We're here. You're here. Stay here. Okay? To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello, where things are happening. That was a creative little opening there, huh? I know it's not creative at all, what I did, and what you heard was me from the year 2007. Oh, that was the beginning of a show that has been requested as a, you know, what are these guys, inner rebroadcast? What do we call it when I do a live show, but I put in something I did live, which is now recorded from many years ago. That's many years ago. That is many years ago. 2007. I was counting. Oh, it's easily 11 years. You know, not a lot of math involved there. And I'll tell you why that was even queued up. I didn't decide until the last minute to do that as part of the opening. Before that, by the way, was something else connected to this show. If I can possibly put all this together, it'll be a gigantic show.
maybe too much for one show, and we'll have to move it on, because that particular show was a request, is still a request, by a couple of people, goes back to 2007, with Bill Crawford, who was the author, among other things, the author of a book that called Texas... No, it wasn't Texas Last Meals. It was Texas... Oh, my goodness. What was it called? That's the, Texas Last Meals. I don't know. Texas... Well, it was... it's a Texas Death Row. That's right. Death Row on Texas. The Death Row Restaurant. And the Texas execution system from way back. And Bill's good old friend of mine from the Wolfman days. And Bill wrote this book, and I had him on in 2000. So it was a great book. I think you can still get it, because they probably digitalized it. I haven't talked to Bill in a while. We're supposed to do a project together sooner or later, but who knows, right? Who knows any of this stuff? So when that book came out, had him on, we promoted it, did all we could, and I would like to play some of that as requested if there's time, because I don't know how long it's going to take me to go through the very thing I said I would do and wrote I would do in the blog, which is, you know, that's just about the one of the two times during a week, maybe three times now, I go to Facebook and just, you know, it's just sunk. It sank. It sunk. It's, what's right? Sunk or sank? It's just, I don't know. I grow out of things. Like, I grew out of Facebook. I was one of the first 10,000 there, and now I want to be one of the first 10,000. Anyway, I only go there because many people, to a couple of places when I do appear live at places, I let people know, because some people still use Facebook incessantly, and because I have, to post something about the show when it's going to be on and what it might be about. I say what it might be about because anything can happen. You know, the general idea to send people over to the blog, which is CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. And now and then there are a couple of people I talk to through Messenger that I talk to through there as opposed to a lot of other places. And you know, I had Messenger. I'll tell you something about Messenger too. This whole Facebook, everything about Facebook suddenly turned against me. I think, you know, and I was like, oh geez, not now this, now that, you know, aside from the fact that they stole my data, or they stole things about me, which on Facebook is, you know, if you could find things that are really about me on Facebook, because from the beginning I said, I'm not coming into this place and revealing much of anything of myself that is true. Although there are some very true pictures. If you go through my Facebook, you can still go and see my pictures, the photos that are there. You know, find out which ones you think are phony and which ones, well, they're all real. It's not that they're phony. It's just some of the captions certainly describe other things related to some kind of mindset. But that has nothing to do with me and what I like. And now Facebook, of course, when I went there, there weren't these, all these ads, and there was, you know, it wasn't that commercial. It was still, it was just coming out of its shell to grow and defeat MySpace. And I know a lot of you don't even remember MySpace, but here's what happened. So I get this Android machine, still call them machines. It's a device. You no longer do machines, they're devices. So I get this device, this Android device, no phone, okay, it's just a device. And I can hook it up to my Wi-Fi, and it hooks up to my Wi-Fi. I didn't do anything. And what happens is, so what I did was I said, you want Messenger? You could download it here. It's all, oh, that's great. Then all I need to do to go to Facebook like once a week, and shove in something about the show and say, hey, I'm going to be at the show or this show or my live shows that happen here in town. So, and I won't have to go there for any particular reason, which is good because I can just go on to my Android. And what do you think? It comes a point where on the Android, it says, hey, you got to update your Messenger. Otherwise, there's a problem. Okay, it doesn't sound like a big deal, right? But it always turns out to be a big deal. So I click it, and it goes to some, you know, page, And it says install. It doesn't say update. It says install. And I click the thing that said update. I click the link that says upgrade. No, it's update, right? I don't know why these things go out of date. Anyway, what the hell's wrong with having that? I had it on there and had my all my Facebook people and ones I wanted to talk to, even ones I couldn't even get rid of. I don't even know how to get rid of them because I have such, you know, a multitude of faces and people and stuff that I don't need, and they don't need me. So I hit the, it doesn't say update. It says go to your Google store or go to Play Store or iTunes store or something. So I go there and it goes, says, okay, log in. So I log into my Google. And then it goes, then nothing happens. And I click this and click that. I can't update the darn thing. I had gotten, so I tried it. I tried it again. I kept using the old one until it finally said no. No more. Go update it or not, Frank. And I said, well, you know what? Pick a frickin' finger. I'm not updating because you won't let me. I don't know what it means. There's no direction. It's as if you should know. Again, we go through that again. I hate the directions that tech writers give on how to operate certain things. They leave too much into the suppose you're supposed to know territory. So I get rid of it. I said, Messenger. I went to my Android thing. I said, get rid of this thing. And that I found out how to do, right? You just, I delete that sucker. Gone. Forever. And so they don't have it. So now I have to go to Facebook where Messenger is there in my page. So those are the three reasons. But that annoys me. And I don't know if you have those problems with Androids and Android. What else is there? Well, everybody uses phones. I don't use the phone. I don't use a smartphone, the iPhone. I just use the Android. It's cheap. It's only $100. You get a really good iPhone. What is it now? $1,900? I don't need that at all. I am the third man, the vegetable man, the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting. I do a lot of things live, do a lot of things with my fingers, hands on. Here we go. So, speaking of things I don't know, what's happened with Facebook, I decided today to go to a special source, a source we always go to. Always is not the right word. We often go to read great articles and discuss topics. Discussing. As I read it, you become aware of what I'm saying and of the topic as I'm reading it and what I'm thinking. No other show does that. All other guys and gals on radio, as far as I know, they prepare, they rehearse, or they do things. It's like when I have people on who write books. I don't read the book. I can't. I don't have time for that. I'm not paid for that. I got other things to do. And what happens? It results in something positive. And as at this show, in this show, as with last week, how about last week? How about Craig Lehner, huh? In that book. It wasn't just supposed to be all about basketball. Craig's good guy, that Craig Lehner. And he and I are exchanging books now. And what a weird thing, because I don't have any hard copies of my own books. This is, what does a digital library look like? Right? There's no shelves. It's a database. A lot of room. No shelves. Well, there's no dust then. You know, that's one thing about the digital books. They don't collect dust. Yeah, Craig Lehner, L-E-E-N-E-R, he joins our archive of independent and dependent. You know, if you're not independent, you're dependent. So that's right. You're published, you're written, not published by another company, or you do the company yourself, independent. L-E-E-N-E-R. So I do with him, as I do with everyone who writes books and are on this show, to go there and buy those books. And buy it digital, buy it real, hardcover, analog book. But, you know, he and I were exchanging books, and I don't, you know, like I, he goes, you know, I'd rather have a bound book. And I said, well, I'd rather have a bound book, too. But try to find one. I don't even have bound books of my own bound books. You know? I did at one time have some Lulu, copies of the Lulu book. So these are just chapbooks, though. They're not like, you know, big bound books. They're the big bound books, and the big bound books, and the bound books. And they, but I gave them away here and there because that's what they're for. What am I going to do? Why do I need five copies of my own book to read one? I don't even know. I wrote it. Once in a while, I look back, but that's it. Molotov Memoirs, somewhere I have a copy, one copy of it. Okay, and it's still in plastic so that it lasts forever. So why open it? This is going to be a collector's item sometime, somewhere, somehow. Even if it's just to my kids. It's never been opened. Everything else, you got to go buy it there. I don't buy it there. I don't go there and buy a book to have my own book. And what about the other ones? Some of them aren't even in hardcover. You go to Amazon, those books are not available in hardcover. License to Skill, 101,000 words. Digital words. Digital words. Sweet Shepherd, novella, digital. Man of La Mancha, digital. These are good books, too. What's the other one? Oh, there's a poetry book there. Yeah, they're cheap. They're digital, and you read them on your phone. You're doing everything else on your phones anyway, most of you. The people from the original generation that listened to this show when we began 20-something years ago, those people, still prefer a lot of hardcover books. I like hardcover books because I'm a writer and I love books. And not to have it, to just have a digital, a PDF, to not have something in my hands to feel, to touch. That's sounding weird, right? Well, maybe not. What's weird to one person's weirdness is another person's lifestyle. It's always been that way. But I'm not about to go there. I'm just telling you. What's the other book? License to Skill, of course. I just said it. License to Skill, Sweet Shepherd, Man of La Mancha, and Wordsworth Shelley. That's the name of the poetry book. They're not even set up, the books, the way they were set up. They're just set up like, oh, well, forget it. I got a lot more coming in a lot different ways. My friends, Andrew R., my friends, here. I haven't even told you. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and I am the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Cthulhu. Frank Cthulhu, the third man, the vegetable man, the bard of broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio. Wake up! It's night! So the beginning, so what you heard in the beginning of this show was the beginning of that show, the show with Bill Crawford. If I have time and we go through enough, I don't want to ruin the flow. If I get a flow going, we're just going to go all the way and we'll take that Bill Crawford segment and hit it next week or the week after that. Who knows? We got a lot of things coming up. We got more guests. And, you know, a lot of our regular guests haven't been here for a long time, but that's my fault, okay? I take blame for that. Because as I told you, I never rehearse. I'm always prepared. Turn on the mic. I could do a show. Someone comes in. I do the show with them. No, I don't. I don't. Get a topic. I talk and even go off topic and talk about anything else. But I can stand here, sit here, and do that. It's very easy for me to go down the Hallelujah Trail. I started, I continue. But we got to get some of those other people. And it's my fault that they're not around on this show because I'm not getting in touch with people. And so we got some new blood. That's why we got to some new blood. We've had over the past couple of weeks, maybe month or what have you, since that heat left and it became autumn and we were able to do the show down here again. And that didn't have a lot to do with my age, mind you, that it became so hot in the studio. There were lots of reasons. There were health reasons. It's just not good to do this kind of a thing, to get this kind of worked up And you can't breathe even with the fan. And you know, even, and it's warm. It's been warm out all day. This October. And I had my air conditioner on this afternoon, in the main, part of the building. And now I'm running this fan still. It's October. I sound like a craw. But I've been so busy that I just have not had a chance to even email some of these people. Thank goodness for Erwin Zucker, that 91-year-old fireball who gets me these great guests. He's been terrific, and he still is terrific, and he will help me. Thank you, Jiggy Jaguar, for turning Mr. Erwin Zucker over to me and his wide cast of characters, which he promotes, and we get some great conversations here still on Cthulhu Chronicles when we have guests. No guests today. Deal with guests or no guests. No guests, Howie. No guests. So there. So if we have time, got it right here to keep my note, and I know exactly where to start. I started 21 minutes and 10 seconds after the show begins from 2007, and we'll get Bill Crawford. If not Bill Crawford, maybe on next week. Or, you know, we just, this is ad hoc, at random, what is it, improv, quesadilla, you know, wake up, it's night, it's still night, we're still here, we don't want that dawn. So, okay, so you got the Craig Lanier thing, it's craiglanier.com, you can go over there. This was never about basketball, that's the exact title. Trying to think of who else I said to, well, a lot of books, a lot of things going on. Olympia LaPointe. Yeah. Mathematronics or whatever the name that website is. She's cool. Gonna have her on again. And where am I? See, and you're going like, yeah, you don't do nothing. Look at all those papers you have. Listen to all those papers. This, you should see what's on this. No one would be able to maintain any kind of a flow. Is this a flow? Is that what I have here, a flow? Just looking at these papers, because they're all over the place. I did the Tigers. I got to cross this out. See, I don't even cross things out. I don't. Yeah, we did it that one week. We did the thing about the Tigers and the butterfly solution. It's not solution. It's experiment. It's not experiment. It's effect. Butterfly effect. Bill Crawford, the other one that had people have asked to hear, and we're going to was also from 2007 with Rory Flynn. Rory Flynn, daughter of Errol Flynn, the incredible actor from way back. I say way back. Way back. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go around. And that's it. You know where to get the books and the things and the stuff. So I'm going to move on. I don't think there's anything else here. Is there? Now I'm going to give you an update on my mystery guest. Mystery guest is another, speaking of guests, right? The mystery guest is recuperating, of course, from this horrible car accident. Our mystery guest was supposed to be here. Going to remain a mystery. This person will be on again. I said that to throw you off. This person has never been on this show. But we're going to be here live. Not a lot of people come on to this show live. Now, another friend of mine from, I don't know where, I don't know where she's from. Anyway, a pop artist coming out with a whole bunch of pieces of music going to be on this show and debut some of the music. Now, I do books and things like that, and I don't do this because there was a point in the independent world of music on the internet where everybody wanted to be reviewed or be on these shows because they weren't on any of the shows to promote the product because they had their own company, their own label, as we say, and their own product. And it just got out of hand with me because I don't just, not only don't I want to hear all this stuff, and I know you might not want to hear all this stuff, but this is not a vehicle for, this is not a conduit for promotion. I enjoy the people I have on who read and write or do whatever they do because they're interesting people, and I hate that word. They're fascinating people, and that doesn't replace interesting very well. They're they're people, and I like the people more than the hype. However, I'm going to hype Gerbino's music when Gerbino comes here, makes a special guest appearance to be here. And Erica will be here, and the music will be there, and, I'm not here to... I'm doing this as a big favor. So, you people who have music out there, you know, I've only had very few over the years. Andrea Perry. Not only am I going to mention them now, Liars Club. I'm not going to, that's it. So those things are coming up, but I haven't told you about Erica before, but I'm telling you now, but I'm also telling you that the mystery guest recuperating and once with wheels again, this person will be here and that's going to be quite a show for a lot of reasons. And I'll tell you why and you'll find out why when we do it. Now what I'm going to do, is carefully place, if I make this louder and talk like this, okay, here we go. But no. I have to put it this way because I haven't gotten my glasses yet. And I got to get this website up so that I can read this. Where are we? Where are we? Oh, we're right here. So I could read this and talk to you about it. And as I said before, speaking of Facebook, you know, Facebook in the crosshairs of all the the fake things, fake news, the news reports, the American election interruption, intervention, invasion, you don't know what you are reading unless you find the sources and prove it. But people just read things and they feel, you know, I've been through all this from the very beginning. I told you that why people fall for certain things when they see it in print. I'm not going to go through that now. But people buy what they see and they feel that they trust too much when it comes to information and when it comes to, this is why propaganda, it works so well. And then from that come the conspiracy theories, which in a sense is just, you know, the fake stuff, made up, created things that are meant to be passed on as if they're real. Remember, so it's phony. Remember we had the fake it? No, it wasn't fake it. Go fund me, don't fund me, go. Remember we did that? You remember? If you're a regular listener, you remember that was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I've lost track. The last 5 months have just sped by like a rocket. Maybe I could turn the fan off. Is that bothering you? Is that bothering you? That's silence, huh? That little drone gone. Yeah. So what I'm going to do here now, I'll do the rest of the talking through the author and authors. Doesn't even say who wrote this. We go to a wonderful magazine. Two magazines that I have used over the years that are reliable, great journalism, and true archivers of popular culture. Whether it be a digital, whether it be, creative or mechanical, electronic, we should say, not mechanical anymore. It's electronic. It's where everything got an E on it. Sometimes I hear things in my earphones, like, you know, other than the, like voices. Tension. People are. Oh, here's the author. So that's my chair. My chair makes its little sounds. Emma Gray Ellis. In the culture section of Wired. I told you about Wired magazine, and I don't get anything for free, and they don't pay me anything. I just tell you, there's two magazines I trust and love, whether I read them online or in person. I'm putting their fan back on here. I'm sorry. I'm sweating. Hold on. But I won't put it on high. Whoa. If it's on high, forget it. Oh, that's too much. We'll move it away. There we go. Just move it away there. Put it on, It's like we're in, it's like we're in a plane. That's okay, right? You don't even hear it as much as I hear it. Let's see. Guess not. Doesn't matter. You can handle this. Get yourself something to drink. Wired, and the, oh, what's the other one? The other one is Entertainment Weekly. And it sounds like a rag, okay, but it's not. It's excellent writers and excellent articles and always right on the cutting edge. That's the word, the phrase, cutting edge. It's pop culture, cutting edge. So, Emma Gray Ellis wrote in, I don't know, it must be recently. I don't even know. Yes, sometime in October. Online conspiracy theories. This is the guide that Wired magazine has put out. I'm going to go through this. I haven't read it, but I understand a lot of it, I think, because and again, if you've listened to this show from the beginning, you know that we found scams. We have followed through and, attacked. Okay, fine. We don't need to pat ourselves on the Chronicle back here. We'll just move on with this. And I'm going to read this and we're going to talk about it. Me and the article. I'm going to try not to be, I'm going to try not to comment on Emma's writing if it disturbs me in terms of its use of language. Conspiracy theories that are online. You should take out your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. If you don't have one, grab a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen. Nobody has pencils anymore, right? Who buys pencils? I guess carpenters. People who are still carpenters? Do they use pencils or there's some kind of special digital crayon or something? I don't even know. Okay. Let's look at what I'm saying is write dish down. That was Dr. Fablianek. If you don't know him, he's forever known on this show because he was real. And that's what he said. It's very important you write stuff down. Write this down. Write dish down. And I imitate him because that's, you know, or you don't know. It doesn't matter. Because they're probably going to tell us, probably, most likely going to tell us exactly what's in the headline. Online conspiracy theories. Okay, Emma writes. See, we're starting the show now. And look at this, at 9:30, in like 39 minutes after the hour, we may still have time to talk with Bill Crawford from 11 years ago. Who knows? Humans are pattern seekers. It's how we've always made sense of the world. Our ancestors wouldn't have survived if they hadn't realized that plants tend to flourish after rainfall or that saber-toothed tigers tended to eat them. Not the plants, the people. I know I'm doing it. I'm sorry. But sometimes we're just a little too good at finding meaning in the noise, occasionally unable to separate real patterns from those of our own imagination. These days, well into the new millennium, second decade of the new millennium. Oh, by the way, a lot of the stuff I'm reading and I'm adding stuff too, so don't think this is all of it. You can want to read it completely, go to wired.com or and subscribe to the magazine. It's great magazine. It's fun to still sit with in front of you, pages that you flip and things you read. It's fun. And those of you who never did it, who are so used to digital, finger moving the page and stuff, right? Give this a whirl. This is the reason why records and are coming back, wax records. I don't know what they call them anymore. LPs? I don't know whatever they call them. Records. They're records. Because people are finding that charming. And they're having a relationship with that. Same reason. Okay. These days, your pattern matching skills will help you find Waldo. But they are also why celebrities' faces keep popping up on tortillas. At their most paranoid and Byzantine, these pattern-matching misfires are called conspiracy theories. What are conspiracy theories? Let's define them. Unfounded, deeply held alternative explanations for how things are known anywhere. Shh. They often invoke some shadowy, malevolent force masterminding the cover-up. So a lot of this fake stuff, a lot of these frauds and phony fakes. I lost the word I was going to say. These imposters. Now I get in my head, got to go through my thesaurus in my head. Frauds? No, that's not the word either. Anyway, let's just look for it. Okay, let's go back to Emma. Okay, you got that now? Did you write that down? So you know, and you know, conspiracy theories. Maybe you even believe in one. Maybe. Okay. Conspiracy theories thrive on the internet. Once, you know, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, and I told you this years ago, but you might not have been here years ago. No matter what is found that is good and operative and functional, there will be people who will try to use it as a weapon, a criminal weapon. And that's what a lot of people on the internet do. Smart people who hack, smart people who manipulate fact. Conspiracy theory, no, it's not that this stuff hasn't always been around one way or another. That's what we're going to talk about with Emma right now. Conspiracy theories thrive on the internet, but that's certainly not where they were born. The Flat Earth Society has existed since the 1800s, and people have been speculating about which people are secretly living or dead at least since 68 AD, when Romans weren't convinced their arsonist Emperor Nero had actually committed suicide. But conspiracies and the digital world do mesh well, probably because they scratch similar itches in our not quite domesticated psyches. Internet culture runs on people sinking huge amounts of effort into obscure and seemingly pointless undertakings. I like that, Emma. Internet culture, I'd write this one down. I'm not going to write it down on your time. Internet culture runs on people sinking huge amounts of effort into obscure and seemingly pointless undertakings. That's an award-winning sentence, Emma. I'm sorry that I commented on one or two that did not meet my my snobby standards. And conspiracy theories are to people what an unsupervised toddler is to a bored border collie. It may not look quite like a sheep, but when you nip at its ankles, your brain sure feels like it's doing its job. The combination of the endless internet and your pattern-hungry brain has managed, that should be have managed, to spread webs of string, red string, farther, that's good, not further, than was ever possible before. I'm sorry I keep hitting the mic, but it's the mic stand because of the way. On the web, it's often hard to distinguish real conspiracy theories from gleefully ironic acts of collective world building. And either way, speculating about which celebs are immortal vampires and which are secretly lizards is mostly harmless fun. And it's excellent. Now, M-E-M-E is mem. I see it, and my brain immediately goes, Mimi, Mimi, my darling little, lovely little Mimi, which is Gigi, but I just corrupted that completely. Meme. I guess it means meme. Okay, but let's not even talk about memes. Because many dark and usually racist pre-internet conspiracies have found new homes on the web, you're always a digital hop and a skip from the mind-bending alternative universes. It should be universe I. Let's ask. He's not here to answer. You're always a digital hop, skip, and a jump from the mind-bending alternate universe I, controlled by many of the same people responsible for our new fake, for our fake news crisis. Here we go. The history of online conspiracy theories. In only a couple of words, I may add. I do add. Here we go. The kind of conspiracy theories that wreak havoc on the internet have knowable ancestors. The conspiracies that erupt every time there's a significant advance in communication technology. Take mass printing. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is a fictitious pamphlet cooked up in 1903 to spread the idea that a ghoulish Jewish cabal was bent on overthrowing the virtuous Christian white nation state. 1903, someone printed these lies for this particular reason, to spread this fake philosophy. Thanks to the high-speed rotary printing press, the conspirators were able to slip into libraries this pamphlet, this book. I don't know if it's a pamphlet. I lost my place. We're able to slip it into libraries across Europe, and because people trusted their libraries, it was believed. You see, there we go back to it. People wrote it down. If they wrote it down and they took the trouble to write it down and then no less print it and pass it out, it's got to be true. People trust the written word, even if it's a digital word. So the result, populations turning a blind eye to Russia's Jewish pogroms, and later to Nazi concentration camps. Around the same time, also, anti-Semitic Dreyfus affair used newly cheap and reproducible lithographs to spread anti-Jewish imagery. Then came the radio. It's radio. See, I should have had that ready. If I had that ready, right, it would be beautiful to play that right now. Then came the radio, and so many people saying, what's the radio? See if I have that here. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Let's move on. People heard ghosts in its crackles and echoes. Enigmatic number stations have fascinated conspiracy theorists since World War I. There's a station called The Buzzer that's been broadcasting a continuous pulse since the 1970s. Conspiracy fans think it might be part of an automated Soviet doomsday project and that the world will end when it goes off the air. Television was subjected to the same kind of scrutiny and symbol hunting. In the 1940s, some thought Tom and Jerry was a cat and a mouse. In case you don't remember those cartoons, look it up on YouTube. Tom and Jerry, they thought Tom and Jerry was Nazi propaganda. I'm using Tom and Jerry as one thing. Were propaganda would be correct. But it sounds wrong, so let go. Anyway, footage of the moon landing has been checked and rechecked for evidence of fakery. It's true. You know, there are people out there, right? We never landed on the moon. Think about the people with the Holocaust. That might be up here too anyway. With new technology comes new gaps in the public's understanding of the world. And for conspiracy theorists, new ways to manipulate those gaps. So the thing that makes the internet wonderful, that is a near endless low cost repository of information accessible by billions, is also what makes it fertile for conspiracy. Didn't I tell you from the beginning of this show 20 something years ago, the best thing about the internet is that anybody can have a page, anybody can disseminate information, anybody can show their wares, their products and their services. And the bad thing about the internet is that anybody can get on, have a page and show, and you see what I'm saying? It's the same thing, just as Emma is saying now. By the way, I didn't mention to Whitney Cummings on Twitter that she stole my joke, because she didn't steal it. In order to steal a joke, you have to hear it by someone else and then take it and make it your own. She just happened to find a joke I've been saying on this show for years, so it's documented. The joke about signing my book, having a book signing, when people come to I go to a bookstore, and I say I'm at a book signing. Come, you can get my book at this store. Come here, I'll be there to sign books. And you know, it doesn't even have to be my book. I'll sign any book. And Whitney thought about that too. So that I mentioned that. Of course, those of you who know, I've said that time and time and time again. No. I shouldn't have even addressed it by saying, I'm sorry, Whitney. By saying she stole it, but she didn't. Of course she didn't. Where are we? Emma! By the way, as we come up to the first hour ending, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show is Cotolo Chronicles. Here we are. Someday it will be Cotolo Chronicles, and it won't be this voice. It'll be another Cotolo. So there, I told you that. What is it? Early internet users were a generation trained on in-person and over-the-phone communication. See? Digital slang was in its infancy. The emoji and give context to chats didn't exist. Some chats didn't exist. And users were faced with more information than they'd ever been exposed to before at once. Okay, that's not true about that, but you know what she's saying. Not only did you often confuse your peers with your ambiguous late-night typing, it was easy to wade into the web and emerge confused and overstimulated yourself, which brought forth communities united by laser-focused citizen sleuthing. In 1996, a spate of anonymous word salad gibberish posts, all entitled Markovian Parallax Denigrate, flooded Usenet groups. Internet sleuths noticed that one of these messages seemed to come from conversational and conspiracy-minded anti-war activist Susan Lindauer, who claimed to be a CIA asset and to have reliable intel that 9/11 was an inside job. See? This is where that came from here. The conspiracy engine started turning, and suddenly phrases like refrigerate, morphine, napkin, island, Gennaro, nameable yearbook hark were seen as the CIA's digital age take on the number station. At the same time, you know what Usenets, were places like that. Now they have chats, they have, bulletin boards, right? Usenets were places you went, to talk to people of the same ilk, right? Usenets about this, about that, military, and then, okay, whatever. Art. Okay, so this goes on and on. When video, and easily manipulable images, manipulable. M-A-N-I-P-U-L-A-B-L-E. Manipulable. Manipulable. That's a weird word. I would never use that. I would never even think it's a word. Easily manipulated images became more common. The landscape got loopier. Admit it, you were fooled by a Photoshopped image or two back in the day. Yes. Remember Helicopter Shark? Does anyone remember Helicopter? Maybe that's why they got Sharknado. I don't know. But you don't need to start shopping to fall down a photographic rabbit hole. Love or hate a celebrity? A few keystrokes? You can comb through every paparazzi photo ever taken of them and blah, 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 blah. And internet access expanded the massive scale of web conversation, contributed to some weird delusions. Large groups innocently chatting about their childhoods have spawned some of the most enduring internet conspiracy theories. So many people are positive that they saw a non-existent movie called Shazam, in which comedian Sinbad supposedly played a genie. He has repeatedly denied ever starring in such a film. This collective misremembering is called the Mandela Effect, because apparently heaps of people also remember Nelson Mandela dying in prison. It's also responsible for frequently misquoted movie lines like, "Play it again, Sam," and, "Luke, I am your father." Did I have to do it like that? No. Same forces are at work today's internet. We may have GIFs and emojis to bring effect to our text-based messages, but partly due to the internet's irony-soaked culture, it's still almost impossible to tell who's being serious, right? All right, I'm leading you towards this article so that you can read. It's a long article. I want to get to their theories. Okay. And we're also going, we're trying to do that in, connection with what? In connection with, oops, what was that? Yep. Oh, I got a lot of windows up here. In connection with, taking a very short break so that we could go replenish our precious bodily fluids. No. So we could release our waste, you know, so we could go to the bathroom. Then what you'll do is you'll come back and we'll do that. Until you know, we're done talking about that. Unless, of course, and then, you know, if we have time, I don't know if we will, this show, so I'm doing a tease. It's a lost leader, my friends. A lost leader. You know what I'll do? I'll throw this, a couple of these things here. Where's that PR? Da, 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 da. Where's that? I'm going to put these things in here. Here, PSA, right? And that thing. So that you could all run off to the bathroom, to the bedroom. What was I going to do? Where's that other thing? Radio. Isn't it just say radio? And run off to the bathroom and then come back. And we'll go through these. Where the heck happened to that? Isn't it called radio? I'm looking through, I know I should be, it should be done with some kind of, spot radio. It's not here? How can that not be? We always, my voice turns into strange things. You know what I'll do? Forget about it. I'll just do that and do this, and then we'll throw on the third man theme and then come back. Because we're going to go through. Oh, jeez. I'm going to get rid of that window. Okay. We're going to go through this. I'm looking for where it is, number one. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll go through some of these as quickly as we can, and then maybe go to Bill Crawford, or maybe part of Bill Crawford, and then the next part next time. Who knows? We're just going to figure this out as we go along. Because that's what we do here at Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I want you all to get ready. If you need something to drink, go get your beverage. If you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom and then come back. We have somewhere near another hour left after all this.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
There we go. What happened to the words? I wrote lyrics to this. And here and there I have sang it, sung it, sang it. Is it hang or song? Is it hang or hung? Boom. No, I can't find it. I am the third man when it comes to broadcasting. And if you know, don't know what I'm talking about, then what you need to do is either see the movie or read about the movie or read about the book and the movie or the screenplay that has to do with the book and the movie and what the theme is all about. I don't mean the musical theme, and you'll know what I mean. Why I am the third man, that guy. Here I am now for you. Here I am the air for you. I am not the one or two. I'm never that. One and two won't do. I'm making this up as I go. Oh, two. If that's just what you will do, then when you do everything, I don't know. I lost track. Anyway, welcome back. Look at me and you will agree. One and two will make three. Doesn't always. Oh, wow. The lyrics are great, too. And I didn't think I was going to do this, so I left it undone. Yeah, I found it. It's in a piece of... Oh, my God. It's like... you look under a rock. Mysteries you will unlock. Things you never knew. You find you should do. Suddenly start to... Oh, I have to show. I missed it. That one. Oh, no. Then you look again. You count. Then every... When you think you've seen everything you can, you look again. You can't find the first, the second, or the third man. I finally get that. This is the original piece of paper that I used. Yeah, right. The original piece of paper I used. And it's... Wow. I wish I'd have dated this. It's torn and tattered. Okay, where are we? We're back here. Cotola Chronicles. Minutes, Frank, 12 minutes. On the show. And we're reading Emma's... I better give her name again. Her whole name. I forgot. I haven't memorized it. Emma Gray Ellis. Emma Gray Ellis, Emma Gray Ellis, parlez-vous. Emma Gray Ellis, Emma Gray Ellis, parlez-vous. All right, the Wired is saying. Let's go through some of these. Wired's top internet conspiracies. Where they started? Wow, this is a long article. This is a good article, Emma. I'm not going to be able to do all of these. Because it just goes on and on. The future of online conspiracy. Hey, where the heck is, where, I'm looking for a list or something. Can I find a list? Wow, this goes on and on. Learn more? Oh. Oh. So, what? There's a video. Oh. So it doesn't, you don't have them all. I thought it was the top. Oh, jeez. This is different than I thought. Oh, here we go. It's on the side. Classic internet conspiracy theories. Oh, it's the text, the main text. And then there's a sidebar. And the sidebar has all the pieces of information we want to go through here. Okay. We may have time for Bill Crawford anyway. Oh, and by the way, I never mentioned this in the beginning of this show, There was a scene from a movie, and if you listened very closely, you might have gotten the gist of it. It was a scene from a movie called The Green Mile, which is based on a Stephen King story. I don't know if it's a book or not, it's a story. With a John Miller, what's his name? John Smith? John Miller? John Coffey. That's right, Coffey, like the drink. John Coffey, a great actor, may R.I.P. him. At the execution of this character, who is the dynamic character of the story. Because there's execution, see, so you get it? The Texas death? Okay. Internet conspiracy theories, here they are. The Berenstain Bears. You remember reading the classic children's book, The Berenstain Bears, right? Right. I don't know. I never read it. I'm probably in a generation that didn't have Berenstain Bears. You know? I'm from the Heckle and Jekyll world. Anyway, says right. But listen to this. You remember reading the classic children's book, The Berenstain Bears, right? Wrong. Those bears weren't Berenstains at all, but rather Berenstains. Some Berenstain truthers are so sure of their childhood memories, they've become convinced that the memories hail from an alternative universe and photoshopped that pesky AI out of many an old snapshot to prove it. I don't understand that at all. So that shows some age and lack of, and I've been here from the beginning. I've been here. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I was here when I had a Macintosh and I was, and I was getting onto a chat with the first chat I ever got on was an AOL chat. And it wasn't even fonts, you know, it was that weird, I mean, it was fonts, of course. You know, that weird kind of digital print and the modem went, whatever I went. Immortal Vampire Celebrities is another one. A number of old paintings and high contrast, low resolution, wow, daguerreotypes, kind of sort of like the Nicolas Cage, and John Travolta, Michael Cera, Peter Dinklage, Eddie Murphy, and most of all, Keanu Reeves. So obviously, Jack Black is really Paul Revere. Travolta can time travel, or he's a vampire doomed to fight Cage forever. Reeves gracefully aging is evidence of his immortality. Immortal Vampire Celebrities. I don't understand that one totally either. I'm the one who should be writing this stuff down, right? This is their favorite. These might not even exist anymore. Maybe people don't believe this stuff anymore. I don't even know about it. Wow, I was expecting to see some other ones. Let's go on. See, there must be other ones here. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. That's the conspiracy. The fake, phony, fraud. No, it's not the word I'm looking to find. I still can't find that word. Here, it's often hard to tell where online conspiracy theory ends and meme begins. And that's especially true of the 9/11 truther adage, jet fuel can't melt steel beams. Now, this I know about. The 9/11 truthers, I know about them. And boy, you've got to be suspicious for anyone who believes this stuff. And if you're one of them, think twice. Now, you wouldn't be listening to the show if you were a 9/11 truther. You'd be over there with the Alex guy and all that junk. InfoWars. Yeah. Okay, so this says here, for the record, the statement that jet fuel can't melt steel beams, apparently this is one of the fake facts they used to prove their truth or fear, a theory about 9/11 being an inside job. For the record, the statement is technically correct, but beams don't have to liquefy for a building to collapse. The phrase became such a popular comeback among conspiracy theorists, likely because it contains a kernel of truth, and refuting requires knowledge of the finer points of the structural integrity of steel, that it eventually morphed into a shorthand for the whole conspiracy theory mindset. You know, there's a whole show involved in this too. I brought it up last week, and I don't think we've talked. I've done a whole show about it called Pop Cultures. How pop culture gets involved in every particular, how it gets involved in history and in the things that become popular, whether they're true or not, what have you. We'll go over that one day, but this is a case of it. See, it's a fake thing. It becomes popular. People talk about it. People believe it or don't believe it. They like it or don't like it. And the phrase, jet fuel can't melt steel beams, is pop culture, because it communicates something else, gives it a label, a name, which is a label, a title, and a sense of its definition. modern flat earthers. Let's go back to flat earth. You know about that. If you saw the, if you were on Facebook and you saw the picture that's on my blog, the Cotolo Chronicles blog, you saw the flat earth visual. I don't know who did it. I hope we don't owe any money. Just showing it. It's just a, it's a beautiful, people still think the earth is flat. I talked about it in my, one of my essays, and of course you can get these too. Here's time for a little spot. 148.ca/Frank. We read all sorts of stuff, speeches I give and things I talk about that are newsworthy, and they're all humorous, and they don't pertain to be true. We are all victims of a vast globularist conspiracy spread by elites who don't want you to know the truth. The planet is flat. Gravity doesn't exist. The moon and sun are the same size and orbit. What? And they orbit the North Pole. And every single astronaut is a gosh darn liar. Why? Because the U.S. faked the moon landing. Duh. Why is Earth the only flat planet? It's just unique. It's Earth exceptionalism. Exceptionism. Earth exceptionism. What did they say? What, American exceptionalism. Earth exceptionalism. Well, why do objects fall if there's no gravity? Listen, things just fall, okay? That's what she wrote. That's what she said. The flat Earth. In this day and age, people believing that NASA and the country got away with the moon landing. There's a movie coming out, also pop culture. This goes into the pop culture section or show or whatever we do, whatever we mean about that. is it Ryan Gosling? Is that his name? Or not Ronald Reynolds. Reynolds is the other guy. Playing Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, and the name of the movie is First Man. This movie, I haven't seen it. I hear it's getting a lot of buzz, but I don't know if it's good buzz. I haven't read any reviews either, but I know it's coming out, and it's about Neil Armstrong, the first man to step on the moon. Not, there weren't like millions either, so it's not the first man of, I don't know, a couple of guys, but still the first. And people think that was fake and he was a fraud and they're all frauds. They didn't go up there and it didn't happen. Pop culture has taken a hold. Once they make movies and, you know, and they start depicting history, that's, I'm going to talk about that in the pop culture show whenever that comes up. Because this show has always been about pop culture. This show right here, the one you're listening to. The one with me, Frank Cotolo, his name adorns the title of the show. It, you know, it's starting to look like Bill Crawford's not going to be here from 2007, but isn't it? It is, because it's almost 20 after 10, and we don't even have to go all, 2 hours. But I'm still doing this. Finland and Australia don't exist. You know, I never heard this one, but I'm going to enjoy reading about it. Finland and Australia don't exist, whether the planet is flat, round, square, or obtuse. Obtuse? An obtuse triangle? It's an ob, is it an obtuse? Wait, how could you be so obtuse? Obtuse as a meaning or an obtruse triangle? I'm not going to get hung up on that. I'm not going to get hanged up on that. Listen to this. Forget the existence of 30 some million Finnish and Australian citizens. The internet knows the real truth. Now that's the real truth. Real. There's no fake truth. See, this is where we get involved in language too. The internet knows the truth. Those people are actors and bots. And their countries don't even exist. Finland, the theory goes, the conspiracy theory, the fake, junky, crap, stupid, don't believe it thing. Boy, that was editorial. It goes like this. It was invented by Japan and Russia after the Cold War to secure additional fishing rights for sushi-loving Japan. And as for Australia, the UK actually just offed those convicts rather than ship them halfway around the world. This is dangerous stuff for people who are young, young people who are learning things and are, they're innocent. They're, impressionable. And they read this and they go, wow, is that really, is that true? But you know, when I was a kid, conspiracy theories existed and were passed on through families. I mean, conspiracy theories about history, about things that were going on at that time. For instance, I brought this up before, I'll bring it up again. When I was a kid, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, well, had died before I was born, but President Franklin D. Roosevelt, good old FDR, when he died of polio-related disease, and whatever, you know, his fourth term, because at those days, presidents could just keep running. And he couldn't run, he couldn't even move, he had polio, see. And they tried to keep that, that was the truth, but they tried to keep that quiet for many years until he got so ill it was impossible to. But, he was, but people in the families of Americans believed something that wasn't true. They had a conspiracy theory. Because Franklin Delano Roosevelt's body lay in state after he died. Obviously, that's when you lay in state. You got to be dead. You don't and lay in state. That's for sure. Lay in state with the coffin closed. Why? Here's what the conspiracy theorists said. I was told this. There was no internet. There was no interweb. There were no digital phones. There was nothing. Just word of mouth. And conspiracy theories develop from little minds, whether it be for frolic or some other end. They pass this stuff on. It used to just be called rumors, you know. Here's what they said. They said that, I don't know, they said that Franklin Delano Roosevelt's body was not in that coffin. It's not in a casket. It's not there and it wasn't in state. This is why they didn't open it. Why? Because they threw his dead body out of a window, not a window, they threw it out of an airplane. They took the President of the United States body, put it in an airplane, and this is 1940, when did he die? 43, 44? Yeah, 43 or 44? Yeah, it was after the war started, right? Because, no, it was later than that. Because then Truman came in at 46. Well, anyway, he didn't see the end of World War II, but it was got to be close to 45. Okay, the point is this. Think about this. They wanted people to believe, and people did believe, that some people in the government were able to take the body, the dead body of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, put it in an airplane, and fly it somewhere, fly the airplane somewhere, I don't know, over the Pacific, you know, kind of, even this, the way they buried Bin Laden, you know, in the sea, but what they did, according to this theory, was, and they're telling kids this, you know, they threw Franklin, you know, they threw FDR's body out of a plane. Just threw it right into the ocean. Why? Really? Did they really do that, Uncle Ken? Yeah. They didn't want anybody to see it. It was horrible. It was a mess. See, they had, we don't even know if he was the president for the last couple of years, that he was a lot. People just making more up, adding more things just because someone told them, or they, or it's because they wanted to believe it. Just like every conspiracy theory, the power of every conspiracy theory to connect to people, they want to believe it's true. So you see, and there's no interweb, but what I'm saying now is the same thing with this, is kids, even with all the places there are to go now on the interweb, to confirm or reject fact, there are still people who think that Finland and Australia don't exist, or that the we didn't land on the moon, or that the Earth is round. Hello? See, that's what bothers me about conspiracy theories in this millennium. And why it's so, such a shame that there was that, you know, the Russians and all the people, all the bad guys who involved themselves in, got into Facebook and did this, these ridiculous things that nobody checked. It was whose fault is it? It's the fault of the people who accept and believe the junk. You know? If you want to be into whatever it is that is being broadcast or told or from this GIF or this quote or this story, look it up. There's enough information now for you to realize what's real and not real. That's the shame of it, is that there's still people like those who believe that Franklin Delano Roosevelt's body was tossed out of an airplane. Has the consciousness of the human being has not developed the same way that technology has. You've got so many sources.
You say, yeah, but who do you believe?
Who do you believe? I'm telling you, if you get three or four sources that tell you the same thing, and you just reliable sources, it's called. You can find more of them on the internet than ever before. Word of mouth was never this potent. And still, we have this stuff. It's outrageous. Here's another one. The very bad, no good, large hadron. Oh, the Hadron Collider. Hogs Bostic. Odds Botkins. No, it's, listen to this one. We'll admit it, smacking subatomic particles together in an underground complex does seem like supervillain behavior. In the years leading up to the collider being turned on, many became convinced its experiments would open an earth-gobbling black hole and that the many delays in its construction weren't due to its expensiveness, its size, or its mechanical complexity, but rather to time-traveling saboteurs trying to stop that black hole from destroying us all. The Hadron Collider, that machine, trying to find the smashing atoms to find the Big Bang, the time, and, you know, it's very complex. But people thought that once they start that thing up, Earth will collapse into a black hole. So these guys were going, gals, I don't know, whoever, were going back in time. You have mail. Remember that sound? Remember that voice? You have mail. You have mail. Oh, wait a second. This might be a mistake. This might be... No, it's real. Annual resolution notice from PayPal. Yeah, it's me. We're sending you a copy of our annual error resolution notice to provide... You gotta watch this stuff, see? Speaking of that, provide having bill... What? To helpful information if you have a billing error. Oh, okay. This could be real. Because it says, just, you know, sometimes all you got to do with emails that have strange information that they're telling you, or, you know, from banks you don't have, and they have a link, you want to find out, just hit the link. All you have to do is look at the email. This says paypal@mail.paypal.com. I can look that up and discover that this is truly from PayPal. I know I have a PayPal account, so there. And yet some people just go click, click, click. Hit something else and, all right, should go to PayPal. I don't even know if I have a dollar in there. I got a couple of dollars in there. Seth Rich. How about this? Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was murdered in July 2016. The murder is unsolved, but law enforcement suspect Rich was a victim of a robbery gone wrong. Right-wing conspiracy theorists have a different idea. Rich was responsible for the DNC email leak, and Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta had him assassinated. Well, do they have more here? Uh, I'm looking to see if there's tracing the rise and Baroque criminal political conspiracy theory known as QAnon. You know, you saw that thing, and I don't know when that started. QAnon? President Trump in 2017, October 5th, 2017, makes an ambiguous comment. Now, you want to talk about somebody who makes up things and takes facts and just completely destroys them, and people listen, and they believe it. Why? Because he's the president. The president's supposed to, he says things, it's true. Same thing as when you write things down. The source, the more trusted the source, the more people will believe and pass on the misinformation. Even when the president of the United States says something, you have to question it, especially when it sounds, well, yeah, it sounds a little weird. I don't care. This has nothing to do with the vote. You voted, you like them, you back them, you don't like them, you backed her, you don't, doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with you. It has to do with you and how you address this stuff, this information that's coming at you, because you're going to have friends. You're going to have people you work with to talk to. You're going to have to be in conversation, and you're going to have to live your life believing or not believing things that will or will not affect you. Okay, so it says President Trump makes an ambiguous comment, one of a billion that will be coming, about a military dinner being the calm before the storm, sparking conspiracist speculation. Now, that wasn't, that was just a, that was a poetic toss that he made. That wasn't misinformation. It's just something he said and dynamically expressed it. Didn't have to do with, but other people, and people who love to read into stuff, conspirators, conspiratist theorists, it's not even hard to say. October 28th, an anonymous user who later claimed to be a high-level government informant writes a cryptic post bursting with far-right conspiracy bait about Hillary Clinton, Uma Abedin, and George Soros on 4chan's infamous, backslash board. You know, the user's name is, his nickname's Q. See? You know, he's not accountable. It's like we talk about, bulletin boards and chat areas and Reddit places where people talk and communicate. You know, is it you or are you just some name you made up? Well, these guys made up names because it obviously, if he's saying, he's trying to stay, unidentifiable, then something's wrong. So he says his nickname was Q after the Department of Energy's top secret security clearance level, which is called Q, which of course is the name of the guy in Q department, Ian Fleming made up in the James Bond novels and later went on into the pop culture, took it and went, okay, that's, don't go there. And October 31st, what happened? A post titled Breadcrumbs Q Clearance Patriot asks rhetorical questions about President of the United States, about Michael Flynn, Antifa, which is anti-fascist. You know, this really gets nuts. If you want to laugh, don't believe. Well, you know what? You could practice. You could do something that will really affect you positively in the future. Go to InfoWars. InfoWars. Which is now, I mean, it's still on the net. You can't get it anymore on your tweet and your thing and Facebook, and you know, they've just thrown them out. Whether you think that's whether you think that's a problem or not is not what I'm talking about. The thing is, like, you can go to the website, read the headlines, and look at some of those stories, and go, and now look at everything with a question mark, like, what? What? Some of it's not that crazy in how it's expressed and written. But it's nuts. And you can research it. Even on Facebook. I tell you something else you can do if you go to Facebook. People post these, a picture of a celebrity and a quote. And lots of times those quotes, and they attribute the quote to the celebrity, Robin Williams said, right? And it says, Robin Williams, a picture of Robin Williams. And creativity is like a steamboat with all the circus trimmings that, you know, whatever he says, unquote, Robin Williams. And it's like, you know, did Robin Williams ever say that? I ask everyone, is that really, is that true? Or is that something someone made up? Or are they paraphrasing? Or, it's like when someone dies, and that's been that rumor. That was big on the internet. It still is big. Somebody puts up a thing, a rest in peace. Remember the Morgan Freeman hoax? That's the word I'm looking to find. Hoax. Hoax, hoax, hoax. I'm not going to go through this QA, this thing, but it's a long and tedious set of events that come to a QAnon, and suddenly, see, Reddit, subreddit and Reddit. Reddit, I told you, they banned the main QAnon subreddit, r/Great Awakening, for inciting violence, harassment, and dissemination of personal information. So, good for you, Reddit. The sheer number of posts and people involved with Reddit is staggering. I tried to go to Reddit. I even have an account. I stopped going. It's just nuts. What can I tell you? It's so much traffic, so many voices, so many things, and just drives me nuts. I just don't wanna, and I like busy things, like busy newspapers, but that is busy beyond belief. It's just, I don't know what means anything. I don't really care to get all these opinions and what have you, you know? So we gave up trying to do anything with Cthulhu Chronicles on Reddit, to have a subreddit with Cthulhu Chronicles. I just didn't have the time to invest in this thing and to know exactly. And then they have these rules, you know, so it made Reddit suspect for being a theater of the misinformed. Though I'd had no proof of that, I'm just made it suspect. So I said, well, it is, I don't need to go there. I don't know who's who, what's what. And, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time, or as much time as so many people do. I just want to stop here for a second because, you know, in the next 10 minutes, we may be ending the show. So the Bill Crawford show from 2007 will either be next week, unless a guest shows up, or if a guest shows up and only has an hour, whatever, we're going to rebroadcast it. God, there's so much stuff here. And deal with that another time. Oh boy. Because it would be stupid to put it on now just to fill 2 hours. And the other show, the Rory Flynn show, we'll figure out that too some other time. I was talking about Reddit, and I think, therefore I am. Therefore I am thinking. People spend a lot of time on the internet and at places that they are communicating. There's nothing wrong with communicating with people. The great thing about email and the chat rooms is that, you know, people used to write letters because that was the primary way to call on the phone or some kind of personal, impersonal. It's both communication. It's not interactive, immediate interaction as are things on the interweb. But people who just surf around, look around, or just run, you know, spend a lot of time there when they could be reading good books, they could be learning things, or they could be researching stuff that they're looking up at and studying on the internet so that they don't get hurled into these terrific tornadoes of untruth. And by the way, that's the name of my new book, Terrific Tornadoes of Untruth, which is falsehood. Is there a word untruth? Isn't it true or false, right? falsehood. Except this, it wouldn't be that way. It wouldn't be an alliteration. These tremendous tornadoes of untruth. Emma did a wonderful job with this article. She went on to talk about Pizzagate. If you don't know about that, you could read it. You could go to, let's just go through this last part here briefly to wrap it up. The future of online conspiracy. Emma writes, so how did these things actually get started? How do we stop them? Take the idea that liberal Jewish billionaire George Soros is actually an evil puppet master bent on selling out the interests of the average American for his own ends. Soros has been cast as a 21st century elder of Zion. And if you ask certain typically ultra-far right corners of the internet, he's bankrolled everything from the Women's March to mass shooting crisis actors to Pizzagate to the Snopes articles debunking these claims for little other reason than his being liberal, a billionaire, and of course Jewish. Go right back to where we started here. So how does a swath of the internet find that credible? It starts with the actual puppet masters, propagandists. In Soros's case, that's the Kremlin and American nativists whose aims are maybe or maybe not coincidentally aligned with Russia's names. Okay. I'm sorry, Emma. The sentences got a little confusing there. Soros's actual beef with both groups goes back many decades. He is a prolific funder of progressive political groups, blah, 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 blah. But really, the mythos of Soros the boogeyman has very little to do with the man himself and everything to do with his supposed agenda, globalism. Russia wants to keep U.S. influence away from its blah, blah, blah. Okay, creating the illusion of populism, of being a true narrative, put forth by everyday people who refuse to be hoodwinked anymore, is where their propaganda power lies. On the internet, it is exceedingly easy to manufacture the illusion of popular support with bot armies and coordinated hashtag campaigns that can drive hashtag Soros and hashtag globalism to the top of the platform's trending topics. People who are conspiracy-minded and distrustful of authority want to hear from people like themselves. And internet users record for being able to distinguish human from bot. Record for being able to distinguish human from bot. Earnestness from irony. Genuine grassroots movement from Russian-led bamboozlement campaign is dismal. See, this is what I'm telling you. That's what I said. She's writing it now with words that are better. Because she wrote it, just didn't think it off the top of her head. What about folks who were a touch more skeptical? Well, it's context dependent. A wild story you'd probably dismiss on a street corner sounds more plausible coming from a source you believe in, eh? And slowly over the past two decades, for both better and worse, the internet has won people over at the same moment that our collective faith in time-honored institutions is collapsing. Is it so outlandish to think the fluoride in the water supply is actually bad for you? When stories about pharmaceutical companies paying doctors to endorse their products or big sugar funding organizations that demonize fat come out all the time? The internet also makes it easy to find pseudo-experts to lend credibility to a theory, conspiracy theory. Celebrities, truthers like Roseanne Barr and InfoWars' Alex Jones' statements automatically carry authority. See? Here? Okay, careful. Many, and social media gives them unprecedented reach. Even if you're leery of celebrity endorsements, most people automatically trust people with PhDs and academic journal credentials. Say, God, this is everything I've been telling. She's saying the same thing. But she said very well, I think you should read it. Read the rest for yourself. I'll read you the last couple sentences. Because I'm a big last sentence guy when it comes to articles and books. Fiction, nonfiction. and education and academia. The only antidote to such a time-tested, targeted strike is empathy and understanding. Fortunately, we have access to empathy engines centuries past didn't have. Relativity unfettered across to other, yes, global communities, and something approaching democratic access to education. In other words, we have the internet. There's a link here to a thing that says, here's one way to reform an internet conspiracy theorist. There's some other questions. You should go here, and you should consider getting this magazine if you don't somehow subscribe to it online or however you do it. You need to trust. This is sources. These are sources. This is collectively all the things that are involved in Wired, something you can trust. And they're constantly addressing these particular things that are unreal, that are taken out of context, that are spreading like disease, that become viral. And viral, of course, has been used as good and bad, has been used, right? And then went in the digital vocabulary. If I went, man, it's great, it went viral. Yeah, I know that. But if it's a germ, germs go viral. That's what it's all about. You know, so Wired does it very well, and maybe the best. So there you go. Isn't that wonderful? I was with a company for a long time. That's how I was introduced to Wired many years ago, before all this stuff became as entangled as is it today. So there. This show has always been about staying awake and staying alert, and how pop culture creates things we can understand, makes it better, makes it exciting, can turn it into a fun game, but, and sometimes plays with the truth, but not in a way that conspiracy theorists do their stuff. So, I mean, I'll do this instead of saying it. So, wait, I almost said it right. So, let's do it like this. So, I was going to say Adam. So, Alex Jones, go yourself. And all of your theorists and everyone else who's on there and does that stuff. Okay? My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And this has been the Cotullo Chronicles. I'm going to sign off a little earlier because, for a number of reasons. Also, I'm singing and performing tomorrow night, and I don't want to get my voice too out of whack. If you're in the area of Pennsylvania, remember this show is going to be archived and listened to from juicedtalk.com. And it's going to be on many stations over the next week. So, but you are listening to me as I'm on the live stream, Y2K plus 18, October 11th. So if you are listening to it, or if you listen before the 12th, which is only, well, it's less than 24 hours from now, and you're in the neighborhood, come on down to St. Thomas Roasters in Lingolstown, Pennsylvania. I will be there live. Singing and joking and funning and entertaining. Me, Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. Go buy my books. Go do all the stuff. Go buy the other people's books. Go to the website. You could still ask to be my friend on Facebook. You just won't get a lot of stuff other than a few announcements here and there. And if we talk on Messenger, that's fine. I'll use it. I'm Frank Cotullo also on Kick now. If you have Kick, K-I-K, do you have that app? You could, chat on there if you have any questions. Google Hangouts. I'm Frank Cotullo on Google and the Hangouts and the Gmails and all that stuff. And there's, so you can get me there. Yahoo. Which I'm having some trouble with Yahoo. Maybe we'll address that another time. What's going on with that site? Yeah, fcotullo@yahoo.com. I'm going to give you the other one too here. FM2words@gmail.com. FM2 words at gmail.com. FM number two words, W-O-R-D-S, at gmail.com. These are the places you can email me, get in touch with me. And if you're on Google, Google Plus, Google Hangouts, or whatever you might be, you'll find me there somewhere. I'm at Amazon for the books. I'm at Lulu.com for the books. I'm at Blurb.com for the books. They're all available in digital if you don't have the money to buy them or you don't care to buy them in analog. You'll find all the other items, 148.ca/Frank, over at SRN Media Works. 148.ca/Frank is what I said. That's SRN Media Works. Who are the, they're the engine of this particular broadcast, now in their 21st year themselves. All that stuff and what? And whatever you want to talk about again later, right? And a theme that takes us away. Sometimes I think that, you know, we repeat these messages of being aware and awake based on the interweb because, you know, we've done this since broadband began. We care about you and how you get, how you obtain information, education, and entertainment from this fabulous piece of machinery. Anyway, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. I think that covers all I want to cover right now with all of it. Hope to be back again next week. That's it. So if that's it, then I'll leave, because when that's it, that means I have nothing more to say.